chapter 2. We're going to be talking about our testimony. We're going to be talking about witnessing. And Paul's, you could say, method of ministry. Let's pray before we start. Father, we thank you that your word is alive and has something for us today. We ask now that you would prepare our hearts. We ask that you would bless tonight, that you'd speak to us in a clear way, and you give us the grace and power to obey and to practice. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, so far, in his letter to the Corinthians, addresses who he's writing the letter to, saying a little bit about himself. And then he mentions their strong points and the grace that they received from Christ. Then he talked about the divisions and the contentions and how we should unify around the message of the cross and how it's foolishness to the world. But the world's wisdom is not as wise as the foolishness of God. And then in chapter 2, Paul gets honest. And for a few verses, he just kind of says, this is what I did. This is what I do. This is what I don't do. This is how I do it. This is why I do it. And he just gets real honest. He's real with the readers. And I'm glad he does that. And as we look at these verses, I want us to maybe look at how we can learn from Paul and even mimic Paul in ways. These aren't commandments. These aren't things and methods we have to use. And yet, Paul was effective. Paul was anointed. And Paul has a lot for us. We can learn from him, a lot to teach us in ministry. So we're going to look at that. And beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." So when I came to you, there's a couple things I didn't do, he says. I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, with excellence of speech. And that word, I looked it up, and according to Strong's Concordance and Dictionary, it means an elevation of speech, a preeminence or a superiority. The other time this word is used in the Bible, it's translated authority. So Paul's saying, when I came and spoke to you guys, I didn't speak as if I knew better. I didn't speak down to you. I didn't speak with an authority. I didn't speak out of a pride or a preeminence. I didn't use excellence of speech. I didn't talk down to you. I didn't talk to you that way. And I was very convicted when I read through this. I thought about my coworkers and how I talked to them. I thought of one thing. Years ago, I was talking to one of my coworkers, and she was telling me she made a comment about something. And I said, "Well, that's good." And I say that a lot. "Oh, that's good." And she kind of said, "Oh, that's good." And I could kind of read from her response how she was offended that I was almost like saying, "Oh, I approve of that," as if that makes any difference. And I was convicted when I read this because I do this sometimes. I get the idea at work that I know the truth of God's word, and they don't. And when the conversation is brought up, I have a tendency to speak with words of excellence, an excellence of speech. As, well, that's good, but this is what the Bible says. And this is, if you were to research, in my mind, thinking I know better kind of seeps out. And there's a, how it comes off. I'm not aware. It comes off arrogant and not attractive. And Paul says, I don't do that. Paul didn't do that. Now, Paul was well educated. Paul knew the truth in Christ. But he says, when I came to you, I didn't talk to you like that. I didn't say, "Oh, that's nice, but this is the truth." I didn't speak with excellence of speech, talk down to you as if I was elevated, preeminent, or superior. Another thing he said he didn't do is I didn't, not only with excellence of speech or of wisdom, I didn't speak to you with words of wisdom. He already said how he preached the message of the gospel without wisdom of words. I didn't come off intelligent. I didn't delve into the deep theological debates of the time. I didn't use big words to impress you, to try to show off my knowledge. I didn't research and come off like I was wise. I chose not to use a speech of superiority or a speech of intelligence when I came to you. I didn't do that with you. I didn't speak on the basis of superiority or intelligence. I wasn't, and again, I look at myself, and how I come off to my coworkers oftentimes would not only be that of speech of excellence, but also of wisdom as well. The Bible says, well, if you look it up, well, if you research it, because you see, I have. And yet Paul didn't do that. That's not how he talked to the people when he went to Corinth. And we read the story in Acts 18, how he went to Corinth and he worked all week with his new friends, Priscilla and Aquila, who he met in Corinth. And then on the Sabbath, he'd go to the synagogue and he'd reason with them. He would persuade them. And yet he says he never talked down to them or tried to use speech or wisdom of words. And at some point he felt led and he preached to them Jesus Christ. And they rejected it. And he shake the dust off his robe and he says, I'm going to go tell the Gentiles. And there was a house right next door to the synagogue, the House of Justice. And he walked in there and started a little church. And he continued to preach and to persuade. But never, he says, and he's talking to the church in Corinth. He ain't making this up. They knew it. They were there. He's reminding them. I didn't talk down to you guys. I didn't talk with intelligence or deep, impressive words. No. But here in verse 1, we see what he did do. He says, not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. What did he do? Without superiority or intelligence, he declared the testimony of God. This word, testimony, he shared his testimony and the testimony of God. It also is translated witness. And you know, we're called to share our testimony. They overcame, the Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We're called to witness. And Paul said, that's how I did it. He witnessed. You think of the courtroom scene and one called as a witness. I was reading different commentaries, and the one commentary said, you know, in the scriptures it's mentioned three times Paul's experience with Christ, how he came to Christ, how he came to him and there was a light and he was thrown from his donkey. And the commentator said, I'm confident that he told people wherever he went his story, his testimony of how he came to Christ. And that's the way he approached it. Hey, this is my experience. This is what happened to me. This is my story. Richard Warmbrandt, in his books, and I don't know if he got it from someone else, says, you know, you're an expert in that topic, your story. You're an expert in that. And you can speak with confidence of that subject, your testimony. Witness what you've experienced. And so Paul said, that's what I've done. And in our sharing our testimony and witnessing, you know the famous quote from Francis of Assisi, that you should witness daily, always, and if necessary, use words. We're to live it first. We're to have a life consistent. If you don't have a story, a testimony, you've got nothing to talk about, an experience. I read in another commentary about a Chinese missionary. He asked a newcomer, a face he's never seen, he said, have you ever heard the gospel? And the man said, no, I've never heard the gospel, but I've saw the gospel. And he went on to tell a story about how there was someone in his neighborhood who was an angry, bitter man. who was addicted to opium, was always a problem for all the neighbors. And one day, he met Christ, and he's seen his life change, and his demeanor became a kind man, and he was no longer addicted to opium. So this man says, I've seen the gospel, though he's never heard anyone preach to him. So, step one, if we want to learn from Paul, is we need to start a story. We need to come to terms with our own story and our own experience with Christ. He says the testimony of God is what he shared with them. God's story. We need to become familiar with God's story and connect to it for ourselves. That's what we witness and where the testimony comes from. So live it first. And then I thought about the courtroom scene. And you think about how out of place it would be if someone was called up as a witness and asked what he saw. And he got up and started to tell the jury what verdict they should come to and told the judge how to judge the case. No, you're out of place. You're just supposed to witness what you saw. And oftentimes that's what I do. As I go beyond witnessing and I try to overexert myself and become the jury and the judge when we're just called to be the witness. I think one of the best examples of this in Scripture, one of the greatest examples of this in Scripture is found in John 9 with the man that Jesus healed, the blind man. Interesting, in this example, the people he witnessed to didn't accept Christ. They rejected it. But it's a beautiful story. Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees questioned him, and he just witnessed. All I know is I was blind, now I can see. He touched my eyes, and I see. And they reamed him, and they went back and forth, and they asked him some questions. He said, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, now I can see. And that's how it's supposed to work and look. And at one point they said, this man is not of God. And he said, you know, it's a funny thing. You say, because they were contradicting themselves. So you say, he's not of God, and yet I was born blind, and no one that's not of God can heal a blind man that was born blind. You guys can testify of that. So their inconsistencies were brought up themselves. He just stood back, gave his account, and started to, well, listen to what you guys are saying. You guys are contradicting yourselves. They threw him out of the synagogue not to return. And yet, that's what we're called to do. If we don't know the answer, we shouldn't act like we know the answer. We shouldn't try to tell a person what verdict to come to. We should witness. Tell our testimony. We should, as Paul, to declare the testimony of God. One more scripture before we go to the next verse. If you turn to 1 Timothy 1. And I might even write down the wrong. I did. It's 2 Timothy 1. I wrote down the wrong reference. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Paul, one of his later letters, possibly his last, writes, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. So we're called to, as Paul, share the testimony of God, our experience with God, what God means to us, the truth of what God did as a witness. And Paul says you shouldn't be ashamed of sharing that. So I don't want to say that. Don't be ashamed. The testimony of our Lord, Scripture teaches us. Verse 2, Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul, like we opened, he's just getting real with them. This is what I did. He says, I didn't talk down to you. I didn't use wisdom. I just shared the testimony of God. And now he shares in verse 2 how he did that. And we can learn from this. This is how I did it. He said, I determined. He wasn't easy. I learned to determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he determined, he put a lot of effort into not knowing things. And I went through this, I made a list, you know, for my benefit, for our benefit, of things we don't know to kind of remind ourselves as we approach and try to witness and share our testimony. To remember things we don't know, such as when we're talking to someone, we don't know their story. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know their experiences. Even if we know the person very well, there's a lot about them we don't know. So as we try to be the judge and the jury as well as the witness, we're going to come to false conclusions because we don't know their heart, their story, what they've been through in the past. So Paul determined to not know anything. Remember, I don't know their story. Also, we don't know their heart. Sometimes we speak to someone and what they're saying is not what they're feeling. They may be rejecting it. They may be seeming to accept it. But we don't know their heart. See, there's a lot of stuff we don't know when we go out and try to share our testimony or witness. We've got to realize there's a lot we don't know. We don't know God's will in the situation. As we share with someone, oftentimes we don't know what God's will is for them, for the question they have. We lack the knowledge of God. We don't know, put this note in there, we don't know everything. And if we don't know everything, no matter how much we've learned, we don't know everything, we're always vulnerable to be stumped, to be brought to a topic we're unfamiliar with. See, we have finite knowledge. Gotta make a list of things we don't know. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen right after we talk to them in the future, our future, their future. We don't know. And then most importantly, I wrote for my own benefit, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to say. We could come up with good ideas. We could have formulas. We could read books and what people say we think we should say. But the reality and truth is, we don't know what to say when we witness and share our testimony. So Paul says, this is how I do it, guys. I don't know if this is going to help you, but I determine not to know anything. I don't try to know what to say. I don't try to learn their heart, their story. I just determine to know nothing. I try to come to the situation. I don't know it. I don't want to try to know it. I'm not going to act like I know it. I don't know anything except Jesus Christ. There's the key. That's where we put our effort, our determination. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a current, active relationship with Jesus? That's where it comes from. That's where effective sharing comes from. He says, when I came to you, man, I tried my hardest not to know anything but to know Jesus really, really well. To know Him. You knew Him, maybe, but do you know Him now? What's going on between you now? As he says, I've determined to know Jesus Christ. He's sharing his secrets. Now, Paul, he gave up his life. He traveled the whole known world at that time. Many missionary trips, many places, many years. Planted many churches. Led many to the Lord. He's saying, this is how I do it. This is how I did it for you guys. As he spent 18 months in Corinth, preaching to the Jews first and started a church. And justice, the house of justice. He says, I just determined always not to know anything. How could you start a church and effectively evangelize without knowing anything? Don't you got to figure it all out? That's not how I do it, Paul says. I try my hardest to know nothing except Jesus really well. And Him crucified. The idea of what He did on the cross and what that means. What does that mean to you today? He says, I try my hardest to know that, to understand that, to grab hold of that. I read in one of the commentaries this certain chaplain, as he would have different people, seek to be a part of his ministry. He would always test them and say, if I was going to die in 2 minutes, share with me how I would get to heaven. He would have these people give them 2 minutes to share with him how to get to heaven, the gospel. And he said, because if they couldn't tell me in 2 minutes, they couldn't tell me in 2 hours. Do you know Jesus Christ crucified? Do you know what that means? Do you know how that works? Are you connected with that today? Because if today there's not really a real knowing of Jesus and Him crucified, then what are you sharing? What have you to share? Maybe you know exactly the so many steps, the scriptures, the demographics, the personality of the person you're sharing with. You got the points. You got exactly what you want. You know you should say. Paul says, I don't do any of that. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him crucified? That's my secret. That's my method. I determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. John 17:3. Jesus said, this is eternal life. They know the Father and the Son. That's what it's all about. Knowing Him. Relationship. He says, not only is that what it's all about personally, but when I go and share and minister, that's what I make it all about. That's what I keep it all about. Knowing Him and Him crucified. Verse 3, he continues, being honest, sharing his methods. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Just as Paul's being honest here as he writes his letter, he was reminding them, I was honest when I was with you. I never acted. I never put on a front. Sometimes I was afraid. Sometimes I was visibly afraid and trembling. You seen me. I was with you in weakness. I was unable. I was incapable of doing anything there. And you knew it. I was real about it. After so many months of preaching, it came to the point where the Jews made a scene and gathered the people together, and the governor of Achaia, which was the sort of the county that Corinth was in, they brought Paul before him and said, this man's preaching another gospel. And they wanted him dead and judged. And it says Paul was about to open his mouth, and the governor interrupted him and said, I don't want anything to do with it. Comes to religious matters, you deal with it yourself. And he walked away. But I could just see Paul there. He was afraid. He was reminding them, when I was with you, I was weak and afraid and trembling. You seen me. Reminding them. See, this is something an effective minister needs to learn. It's not about keeping face. Whenever you keep face, you're hogging God's glory. And Paul says, what I've learned is to be honest about my weaknesses. I've learned not to hide my humanity. And when I was afraid, you knew it. You seen it. Where I was weak, I showed you. It was open. And therefore, you seen a fearful, weak, trembling man being used. And you gave the glory to God. So I was real. I didn't hide my humanity. You seen me. You knew. Verse 4, he continues. And my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says, I didn't, and continuing on with this same line of thought, I didn't use persuasive or enticing words, the old King James says. I didn't come up with a really good package to put the gospel in. I didn't seek to make it attractive. I didn't play on emotions. I didn't use any games, he says. I didn't use any human worldly wisdom. I just preached simply, and that's what he said before, remember? As if foolishness, he preached without wisdom of words. A simple, offensive message of the gospel. I didn't change it. When you change it, there's a problem. Some change it, and Jesus wants to make your life fun and happy, make you rich, and everything work good, because that's attractive and enticing and persuasive. So I didn't do that. I just told the straight truth. Some people say, I'm happy, I don't have any problems. He said, no, I didn't. I told you when I was afraid and trembling and weak. I didn't try to package it differently. I have another scripture here in 2 Corinthians, the next book. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 2, 17. Paul says, for we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God and in Christ. Later on in the second letter, he says, we're not playing a game, we're not running a business, we're not peddling, pushing, selling God's word. He says we're truly, sincerely in the sight of God. See, our hearts, Paul said once, I know that there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Therefore, I make it my aim to live in all good conscience before God and men. Paul says, when I speak to you of the word of God, when I preach to you the gospel, when I share my testimony and witness, I do it knowing God's watching. I do it with a sincere heart, not for my own gain, not with any games, because I have a conscience that's afraid to mess with something like that. I don't use God's word or the gospel or ministry as some kind of opportunity to take advantage or to peddle. Paul had a very sensitive conscience towards that. I didn't use enticing words. I didn't fool you or trick you. He said, my speech and preaching were simple. I didn't mess with it. He says it wasn't with human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I have a little note here, and I wrote, will you allow your testimony, witness, conversation, and life be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power? That's what he did. Will you allow that? If you get yourself out of the way, the human, what you know, get that out of the way. Your glory, saving face, people knowing your weaknesses and your sins, get that out of the way. So you could be like Paul. Paul says, I got that all out of the way. And then people could see God's power through it. Then when I spoke, it was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In Acts, the Bible says, when the Spirit comes, you will receive power from the Most High, dunamis. See, then it works, Paul says. It worked. God worked it. I know I want that. It's a challenging proposition. And yet I want my life to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want it to work. Don't you? And then finally, in verse 5, he gives the why. See, he told us what he does. He told us how he did it, how he does it. He told us what he doesn't do. And now in verse 5, he tells us why. He says in verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When I get everything else out of the way, Paul says, then your faith is not in anything else except reality. The true power of God. See, that's what ministry, our witnessing and testimony and our reaching out to people should be all about. That's what our goal should be. Somehow, allowing God, through a sinner and a vessel as we, as us, as like Paul, I didn't say that with proper English, but you get the idea, to connect people's faith with God, not with anything else. We all have faith, and this faith is what gives us access and starts us in our relationship with God. And it's somehow being a part of them connecting that faith in the power of God, in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified, the reality of His word. And if you add anything else to it, that faith could be misplaced. People have faith in their pastors, faith in their friends, faith in a style or a method of preaching, faith in a message. Paul says, I'm careful not to allow that. Try to take that all out of the way so that their faith is in nothing but God, the power of God. As they see the truth, they hear the truth, the reality, and they come in truth and connect their faith to God. So in summary, what can we learn from Paul and his method of ministry, witnessing and testimony? Well, we can learn to just be a witness, not be the judge or jury. Just share our story, But first, to develop our story, to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to connect and understand, to be current with our story, to have something to witness about, a testimony to share. And then just tell the truth. Don't add to it. Be honest, vulnerable, real, transparent, and allow God to do what God wants to do. Allow the cross to have its effect on the hearer. And that the people would have faith in nothing but the power of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray now that You would plant Your word into our hearts. Whatever it is that You're telling us, that we would grab hold of, that we would receive, that we wouldn't shirk. Father, we pray that You would give us strength and faith. Lord, the areas of our heart right now that have doubts, the areas of our heart that don't desire to give in, to give up, to be real. The part of us that's proud and wants glory and wants to save face, wants to do it our way, wants to use excellence of speech and wisdom. Father, we give that to You. We pray that You would take it. We pray that You would break us. We don't know how to change ourselves. And we thank You that You've promised to change us. So we look to You and we ask that You would make us effective witnesses for You. May our lives be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We pray that You would use us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.